morning. Today's daf and Yuma, daf Gimel. The topic of discussion since we started the new Masechta is Shiva Semun Kodim Yom HaKippur Mafrish and Kohen Gadol. There's a separation of the Kohen Gadol, sequestering of the Kohen Gadol 7 days prior to Yom Kippur. The Mishnah doesn't discuss why. Mishnah just simply says that's the case. So why? Why is there 7 days of Hafrasha? So that's been our topic of discussion over the first daf of Yuma. And that will continue to be our discussion over the second daf of Yuma as well. So what did we see yesterday? We saw that perhaps it comes from the Miluim. The Shiva Semeya Miluim, the seven inaugural days of the Mishkan, before the Mishkan was finally set into motion. Mishkan went into operation on the first day of Nisan, second year, as they walked through the Midbar. So the Mishkan, we know that there was Yemei Afrasha. There were 7 days of inauguration, including those 7 days of inauguration. So Aaron was sequestered. So the Gemara says that based on that, we have now a prototype, a case study, a model, in which now we're going to move forward and say that there are other occasions where there's going to be sequestering. What are those other occasions? So it's hinted to by the Miluim. If we go back to the Pesukim by the Miluim, the Gemara quoted in yesterday on Beis Amid Aleph. So the Pasuk says, Kasher Asa Bayam Azer, just like we do on this day, Tziva Hashem Lasos Lechaper Aleichem. Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded Lasos Lechaper. So those are two key words. The way Rav Yochanan explained it yesterday, now remember that name Rav Yochanan, because that's going to come up later today. So the way Rav Yochanan explained it is that Lasos is a reference to Paro, and Lechaper is a reference to Yom HaKippurim. So Maisa should be a reference to Paro, so we discussed that yesterday. That was yesterday's daf. Paro Aduma, there's also a requirement of sequestering. The Kohen who is Soreif, the Kohen who burns a Paro Aduma, needs to sequester himself, perhaps, maybe other Kohanim as well involved in the Paro Aduma ceremony. But the Kohen who is Soreif has to sequester himself for 7 days. That's the Lasos. And then the Lechaper, that's talking about Yom HaKippurim. Then in Yom Kippur, there's a requirement to sequester. Kohen needs to sequester himself just like by Shiva Simei HaMoluim. And what we're going to be discussing most of today is, how do we know that this din is only limited to Yom Kippur? Maybe it would be applicable to other days as well. And so basically what the Gemara suggested yesterday, and this takes us to Beis Amid Beis, is that maybe this idea, this requirement of sequestering should be applied more often, or could apply to another yontif. So for example, the Gemara says maybe Pesach, or maybe Sukkos, to which the Gemara says, it can't be Pesach, can't be Sukkos. Why not? Because Pesach is 7 days, Sukkos is 7 days, and we're talking about a sequestering, right, a hafrasha that would result in a one-day event. So we're looking for something which is a one-day event. And Pesach and Sukkot are seven-day events. So I wouldn't sequester myself for 7 days. Okay, that's what we saw yesterday in the Gemara. And that was just a quick refresher from yesterday's daf. We are continuing now in the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Beis Amid Beis. We're starting with the words of Rav Ashi. Now the Gemara said, I'm sorry, just one more point from yesterday, just to catch us up to speed. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Shmini Atzeres. Maybe Shmini Atzeres is a one-day event. So maybe there should be Yemei HaFrasha for Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is a one-day event. To which the Gemara says, well, Shmini Atzeres has Kedusha in front of it. We're looking for a one-day event which is a standalone event, meaning a one-day yontif with no Kedusha in front of it. Okay, the Gemara says, Kal v'chomer, well, if I have to do a frasha for a one-day event, shouldn't I have to do a frasha for a one-day event that has Kedusha in front of it? So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right, Kal v'chomer, very good, but kazeh. Meaning, you go back to the Pasuk regarding Meluim, the Pasuk says, kasher asa bayam hazeh, tziva Hashem lasu sechaper aleichem, so that's hazeh, and the Gemara says kazeh. It's got to be similar to the Meluim, where there's no Kedusha in front, and it leads up to a one-day event. Rav Ashi Amar, two lines from the bottom of Beis Amid Beis. Rav Ashi Amar, mi ika midi de ika rego lo bai prisha, and tafel de day bai prisha. And Rav Ashi says, look, let me attack the Shmini Atzeres from another angle. And that's the following. You realize what we're suggesting. We're suggesting that for Sukkos, you know, there's no prisha requirement. But then when we get to Shmini Atzeres, so there's a prisha requirement. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, well, that doesn't make sense. In other words, for the main component of the yontif, there's no prisha requirement. And then we get to Shmini Atzeres, and then there would be a prisha requirement. Shmini Atzeres anyway is just simply subordinate to Sukkos. Now the Gemara says now, now we do say time and again, and here's a perfect example where we say it, we do say that Shmini Atzeres regel b'fne'atzma, it's its own independent yontif, but the Gemara says, yes it is, but no it's not. It's not. In other words, in certain aspects, it does have an independent identity. But the truth of the matter is it's Shmini Atzeres. It's the eighth day of Yantav. It's really part of Sukkos. So first we'll go over the exceptions, meaning on what regard is in an independent identity, and then we're going to go back and we're going to explain. But really, fundamentally, it's part of Sukkos. So Rav Ashi's point is going to stick, which is, I can't imagine that there's no Hafrasha requirement for Sukkos, and then all of a sudden for Shmini Atzeres we have a Hafrasha requirement. So that's Rav Ashi's basic point. So, but we're going to get now into a little bit of detail of how Shmini Atzeres is considered independent versus how is it fundamentally still part of Sukkos. So first, how is it independent? The Amar Shmini Regel Bavnei Atzmahu Hanimila Le'inyan Pazar Kashav. So the Gemara says, okay, Pazar Kashav. Six letters, obviously, these aren't words, these are acronyms, right? And in this six ways, Shmini Atzeres now is independent. Good. Would be helpful if we knew what they were. So let's take a moment to look at what they are. So, Linya Pazakashav, take a look at the top Rashi and give a moment. Aleph. So, Rashi writes, Pais Latzmo, Shein Pais Bepare Hachag, Eitz HaMishmar, Shekal Mishmar, Shonos, Umishashlos Bahen, Lefi Cheshman, Sejon, Kemoshishin, Mesechet Sukkah. So you know how it operates in the Beis Hamikdash. There's a mishmar. There is a rotation of Kohanim. And when you get to Yontif, so the mishmaros operate in a certain way. Now in Sukkot, you have to take that into account. You also have to take the number of karbanos into account. In Sukkot, there are a lot of karbanos. I know that was a very detailed explanation. But on Sukkot, there's a lot of karbanos. When we get to the end of the Gemara Sukkot, so we're going to go through all the karbanos of Sukkot. We're going to go through all the mishmaros, and we're going to point out that every mishmar got to do the avoda at least two times. Most of them got to do it three times. And the way that it was formulated then is that when you got to Shmini Atzeres, we didn't operate with that regular rotation. But on Shmini Atzeres, we made a new rotation. There was a new lottery and a new rotation for Shmini Atzeres. So that's the pay of Pazar Kashav. That's pious. Finishing the Rashi. Ava Parshal Shmini B'tchila Mafisan Alav. But when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, new lottery, new rotation. That's the pay. Zion, next Rashi. Zman la'atzma, levar shechianu. So Shmini Atzeres requires a shechianu. When you get to a new yontiv of the year, so you make a shechianu. So when we get to Shvi Yishol Pesach, there's no shechianu. It's not a new yontiv. Shvi Yishol Pesach is just a continuation of the first day of Pesach. But when we get to Shmini Atzeres, shechianu. Reish is regel, regel bifnei atzma. What does that mean? She'ein shem chag hasuko salav. Okay, so Rashi over here explains that regel is in the sense that it's not called Sukkos anymore. Doesn't have a shame sukkah. Okay, take a look at Tosfos over here. We're not going to go through Tosfos right now. Tosfos gives a different shot. Karban. Really up to the kuf of Pazar Kashav. Karban Latzmo, Rashi, She'ein Karbanot Shavu L'chol Shari Mosachag, She'kulam Parim Merubim, Ve'elim Shnayim, Ve'yudal Kvasim, in terms of the Karbanos of Sukkah. So Parim, a lot. Why does Rashi say a lot? Because we know that it is not a fixed amount of parim every day of Sukkot. It's a variable. Starts with 13 and goes down 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7 over the 7 days of Sukkot. Two elim, 14 kvasim. That's your karbanos that you bring on Sukkot. Vekan, but then we get to Shmini Atzeres. Parechad, ayalechad, shiva kvasim. So you go now to 1, 1, and 7. One par, one aisle, seven kvasim. So it's a total change of a formula for karbanos. That's the kuf of Pazar Kashav. Shin, shir la'atmo, shein shir shav l'chol shar shiros yimeyachag. Kol shir yimeyachag medaber me'in gezel matnos aniyim v'osan shechol amod mefurs me'mesechet sukkah. And Rashi says again, wait till we get to the Gemara in Sukkah where we're going to go through the shir of sukkahs. But v'shal shmini atzeres in a me'in asif, Shmini Atzeres has got a totally different shear. Now Rashi admits, I don't know what it is, but it's a totally different shear. So a new song is sung on Shmini Atzeres, unlike the ones that are sung on the other days of Sukkot. And finally, Bracha, Bracha Latzmo. So Bracha Shayim Avarchan L'Tfilas Chaye HaMelech. So one pshat in Rashi is that the Bracha is for the king. We make a bracha specific to the king. Okay, in the you see by Shlomo HaMelech in Sefer Malachim that a bracha was given to the king. Again, this is not the only way to explain Pazar Kashav. I just went through Rashi in terms of it, but the point is as follows. In this six details, so Shmini Atzeres behaves like an independent yantav. But, says the Gemara, And now we're back in the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph for the top line. Aval le'inyan tashlumim, tashlumim derishon hu. But fundamentally, Shmini Atzeres is really just still an attachment to Sukkot. How do I know that? Tashlumim. I know because of the halacha tashlumim. Every time you go up to the Beis Hamikdash and one of the regalims, you have to bring a karbon. You have to bring an ola. You have to bring a chagiga. You have to bring a shami simcha. So three karbonos that come together on every yantiv. Now, the basic chiv is to bring on the first day of Yantiv. But what if you don't bring on the first day of Yantiv? So you have makeup days. So how many makeup days do you have? So that's the Braisa. It's the Mishnah. The Hadinam, we learned in the Mishnah, Mishlo Chag, B'yam Tav Rishon Shel Chag. If you didn't Chag. Chag over here does not mean celebrate. Chag means bringing the carbon chagiga. You may mishlo chag yom tov rishon shel chag chogeg v'holech chol arego kulo. So you can bring the chagiga, the entire yom tov, yom tov achron shel chag. And now that you can even bring on Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres you're allowed to bring. It's still going to be a makeup date for your chagiga for Sukkot. A makeup date. How could it be a makeup date? Answer: because it's subordinate to Sukkot. Shmini Atzeres is still part of Sukkot, so you can still make it up. Good. So again, this speaks now to Ravashi's point. Ravashi says, I can't imagine that you're not going to have a frasha for Sukkos, and then you're going to have a frasha. There's a halacha of a frasha for Shmini Atzeres, which is really just a subordinate. It's an attachment to Sukkos. Okay. Period. Next suggestion of the Gemara, Ve'ema Atzeres. And for the rest of today, here's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to suggest that maybe Hafrasha is necessary for other days. Meaning, again, so we gave up on Pesach, we gave up on Sukkos. Those are 7-day events. And Shmini Atzeres is really just an attachment to Sukkos, so we gave up on that as well. But let's look around the year for 1-day events, 1-day Yontifs, where there's nothing before, and maybe just like by the Meluim, there's a halacha of afrasha that the Kohen has to sequester himself 7 days prior, so maybe by these other days as well. So the Gemara suggests Ema Atzeres, so maybe Shavuos. Deprisha Shivas Liyom Echad, right? Seems to work. We'll have the Kohen sequester himself 7 days before Shavuos, and Shavuos is a 1-day event. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Danim Parechav Ayalacha, Mi Parechav Ayalachad, Lafuke Atzeres, Tishnei Elim Ninu. So the Gemara says, no, better. It's a better mash for Yom Kippur. Meaning, because when we turn to the Meluim, what do we see? That the karbanos that were brought during the Meluim was parva ayil. One bull, one ram. Good. Yom Kippur, what does the Kohen bring? One bull, one ram. So, match. We have a match. If I turn to Shavuos, what do we have on Shavuos? Shnei Elim. We have two rams. So in terms of a karbon match, it's a better match Miluim to Yom Kippur than that of Miluim to Shavuos. Okay, so from that standpoint, it makes more sense to say that the din halach of Afrasha, the din of Afrasha applies to Yom Kippur simply for its carbon match. So the Gemara says, you know, that's not universal. Not everyone says Yom Kippur is one aisle. Some are of the opinion that Yom Kippur we bring two aylim. Now, how could this be a machlokas? Meaning, how could we possibly entertain this idea that, well, there's a machlokas, how many karbanos you bring? Karbanos are one of those things where the Torah is pretty clear, right? The Torah tells us how many karbanos to bring on each one of the yontifs. So how are we entertaining a debate in terms of how many karbanos you bring? So the explanation goes as follows. The Torah describes karbanos that we bring on Yom Kippur in two locations. One, Parshas Achrei Mos and Sefer Vayikra. Two, Parshas Pinchas and Sefer Bamidbar. So what's happening in Parshas Pinchas? Musafim. All the carbon musafs are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. We're familiar because every time we get to Yontif, so we open up for the Maftir, we open up Pinchas and we read from the carbon musaf that are brought on that particular Yontif. That's Parshas Pinchas. Pinchas is musaf. Then you go to Achrei Mos. Achrei Mos is describing the carbonates that come for Chovas Hayom. Meaning each yontif has a unique identity, which requires its set of karbanos for its unique identity. And so therefore, in Achrei Mos, we have a series of karbanos that are brought, not because they're musafim, not because they're just simply add-ons in addition to the tamid, but they really reflect the identity of the day. There's a par and aisle mentioned in Achrei Mos, and there's an aisle mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. So the question on the table now is that, are we describing the same aisle, even though one is described in Achrei Mos and the other one is described in Parshas Pinchas, or, no, they're not the same aisle. They're two different aylim. The Parshas Pinchas aisle, that's a Musaf aisle. The Parshas Achrei Mos aisle, that's a Chovas Hayom aisle. That's the Machlokas. Machlokas Tanayim, when the Torah is describing the aisle by Achrimos, is it the same aisle as being described in the Parshas Pinchas, or is it a separate aisle? So the Gemara says, look, you wanted to argue that the Hafrasha of the Meluim fits better with the Hafrasha of Yom Kippur. Why? Because on Yom Kippur, one par, one aisle. Not according to everybody. According to some Tanayim, it's actually two Elim. So you don't have a match. You don't have a carbon match. Let's see the machlokas inside. Michael Amemar Ditanya will learn to Nebraisa, Rebbe Omer, Ayalechad, Hu Amar, Kan Hu Amar, Bechumashapakudim. Rebbe's of the opinion, the Torah is describing an aisle on two occasions, but it's the same aisle. The aisle in Achrimos is the same aisle as the one in Parshas Pekudim, Parshas Pinchas. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, Shnei Elim Haim. And Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon says, no, there are two aisles. Echad Amor, Kan Echad Amor, Bechumashapakudim. One mentioned here, one mentioned in Bamidbar. The one mentioned in Parshas Achrimos, that's Chovas Hayom Isle. That's the one that reflects the identity of the day. The one mentioned in Pinchas, that is Musaf Isle. That's just simply an addendum, an addition to the Karban Tamid. So now, according to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, we don't have a Karban match. And so what's your argument that the Hafrasha should be for Yuma, when the truth of the matter is that Yuma also has not one aisle, two Elim. So, Afilu Temer of Elazar Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, it's not such a difficult question. Why? Because Hasam Chalachov Asayam V'Chalam Musafim La'afuki Atzeres D'Tavar Chov Asayam Ninu. The Gemara says, look, even if it's two, but categorically they're not the same. The one that's mentioned in Achrimos, that's a Chov Asayam carbon. The one that's mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, that's a Musaf carbon. So categorically it's not the same. Now, when we talk about the Meluim, there's no Musaf in the Meluim. The Meluim are inaugural days where a special carbon is brought for the end of the Meluim. Meaning, and that certainly reflects, it's not a Musaf, it's a Chovas Hayom. So if we just went under the Chovas Hayom category, so we're good. On the Chovas Hayom category for the Meluim, it's Paranayal. For the Chovas Hayom, for Yom Kippur, it's par an aisle. Yes, another aisle is brought, but that's a Musaf aisle. That's not a Chovas Hayom aisle. So therefore, it does represent a good match, a better match. Okay, good. That's the Gemara's argument now, that we do have a match between the Shivas Yimei Meluim and Yom Kippur. And again, speaking to the idea that Hafrasha should be done on Yom Kippur, as opposed to any other Yontif, where it just simply doesn't match. The Ema Rosh Hashanah, continuing in the Gemara now says, okay, let's move along. Let's move along the year. Let's go down to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a one-day event. It's a one-day yontif. And on Rosh Hashanah, so why not suggest that there should be Shivas Yimei Hafrasha, 7 days of sequestering. Depresha Shiva Yom Echad Hu. And again, in terms of our prototype, it's perfect. It's 7 day Hafrasha for a one-day event. That would be Rosh Hashanah. The last 7 days of Elul for a one-day of Rosh Hashanah. Amar Rabbi Abba, done in Parva Ayo Shalom, mi Parva Ayo Shalom, lafuk etzes for Shoshana, ditzibur ninu. So Rabbi Abba says, I'll give you an answer, and this answer will be a more global answer. It will resolve a number of our issues. Funding. Okay, we just spent 3 weeks talking about funding, so our head's still in Shkalim, and our head's still in funding. Who pays for it? Okay, that becomes a question that we often ask, but who pays for it? So in general, when we come talk about carbon seaboard, so that's public funding. Shkalim are collected from everyone. Money's brought to the Lishka. That's public money. That's public funding. So most of the time, carbon seaboard is paid for by the seaboard. However, when it comes to the Meluim, Aaron has to pay for Parva Ayo. When it comes for Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol. First Kohen Gadol Aaron, but for the future, Kohen Gadol pays for Parva Ayo. So the Gemara says, when we're talking about the halacha of Hafrasha, and where else should Hafrasha be? We know it's by Meluim. Where else should it be? It's obvious that it needs to be by Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur, you have the same case study, or the same platform in which the Kohen is paying for the Karbanos. Not the Tzibor, the Kohen. Go to Rosh Hashanah, go to Shavuos. Okay, you're right. It may be similar in Karbanos, but you go to the other days of the year, that's all public money. And so therefore, it's a better match for Yom Kippur simply because it's privately funded. The carbon Parva Ayo is privately funded. I'm Rabbi Abba, done in Parva Ayo, Shalom, be Parva Ayo, Shalom, Lafu, Ketzash, Rosh Hashanah, Disibar, Ninu, Sahani, Chalaman, Dharma, Kacha, Chamishocha. So the Gemara says, The Gemara will try to argue here. Let me just walk us through the next lines of the Gemara, and then we'll read it inside. The Gemara is going to try to argue that not everyone agrees that the carbon of Yom Kippur by the Kohen, the par in the aisle, is privately funded. Some are of the opinion that's publicly funded. Essentially, what the Gemara will say after a little give and take is that that's not true. On Yom Kippur, everyone's in agreement that the carbon is privately funded by the Kohen. The par and aisle are privately funded. The Kohen Gadol has to pay for it himself. And so basically, we're back to our point. But for a couple of lines of Gemara, the Gemara is going to entertain that, no, maybe they should be publicly funded. Why? Why would the Gemara argue that? Hanich l'man d'amr kach l'cha mishocha. V'yaseh l'cha mishocha. Al l'man d'amr mishatzi b'mayikah l'meimar. So the Gemara says that when the Torah uses the words kach l'cha and aseh l'cha, so some are of the opinion that that doesn't represent private funding, but that represents public funding. The word l'cha then would be a little bit confusing, but the Gemara is going to try to explain that confusion. The Tanya, the Gemara says, but first, before we, let's see the b'raisa inside. Kach l'cha, excuse me, mishocha. Ve'aseh l'cha mishocha. V'yichue l'cha mishal tzibur. So whenever you see a parsha open up with the words kach l'cha, that means yours. The Torah opens up with the words aseh l'cha, like by the chatzotzros, that's yours. V'yichu eilecha, so where is that? V'yichu eilecha shem zayit zach, kasis lamaor. So that's mishal tzibur, divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Okay? So according to Rabbi Yoshia, the aseh l'cha, the kach l'cha, Cohen privately funds that. V'yikhu eilecha, in the Lashon Rabbim, that's public funds. Rabbi Yonas and Omer, ben kach l'cha, ben v'yikhu eilecha, mishal tzibur. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, kach l'cha, v'yikhu eilecha, that's public funding. Umatam olomer kach l'cha, so then why would the Torah say kach l'cha? L'cha usually means you. And now, according to Rabbi Yonasan, we are understanding that in the context of, no, it's really publicly funded. So what does it mean, kach l'cha? Kaviyachol mishachani rotze yoser mishalahem. If we could say this, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I'd really like yours more than theirs. Meaning, it's publicly funded, but in truth, I really would like your money. Okay, it's a drush. It's hard to understand exactly what that means. In fact, it's hard to understand. Rashi himself offers two explanations in terms of what exactly the Gemara means when it says kaviyachol. I mean, we know what the word kaviyachol means. Kaviyachol means, if we could say this, we'll say this. But if we could say what? So one pshat that Rashi says, anishamati im hayat tzibur yachol iskaper b'shal yachid. If we could say that that the tzibur could receive a kapara from an individual, from a privately funded karban, so then Akash Baruch would say to the Kohen Gadol, you know, I'd have you pay for it, if we could say that. But the tzibur needs a kapara, so therefore you can't pay for it. That's how Rashi explains the kaviyachol. Right? But Rashi says, b'shal yachid. But Rashi says, but truth of the matter is that I offer a different pshat. Rashi writes, lefisha, davar kashu olomer shakash baruch hu katz bi Yisrael, omer kaviyachol. Klamer al kachenu yomer kein, ki ilu eshel omer kein, v'chein kol kaviyachol. Right? If we could say that Akash Baruch Hu doesn't want the carbon of Yisrael. Okay, either way. But the point is, however, is that the Mishalcha, Kach Lecha, means Kaviyachol, meaning really it's publicly funded, but I wish it weren't publicly funded. Anyway. Abachanan Amar Mishum Rabbi Lazar, Kasav Echad Amar Vasi Salcha Aronates, Vekasav Echad Amar Vasu Aronates, Eshitim. Who's paying for the Aron? So it's one pasuk says v'asisa lecha, you make it, and the other pasuk says v'asu, you plural make it. So haketzad kamizman sheisos and ritzon shalmakum kamizman sheinos and ritzon shalmakum. So the Gemara says, well, it depends whether we're os and ritzon shalmakum or not. So if we're os and ritzon shalmakum, so then it's referred to as ours. But if we're in os and ritzon shalmakum, so then the aron is not considered ours. But Adkan lo pligi ela b'kichas ama v'asiyas ama. So I'm sorry. This is already the Gemara's answer. Okay, so let's pause. So what the Gemara is trying to argue is that maybe the carbon par and aisle of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is not privately funded, maybe it's publicly funded. Meaning we do have some opinions, Rabbi Yonasan to be more specific, who say that even when the Torah says kachacha and yikhoi lecha, it doesn't mean private funding, it actually means public funding. So what the Gemara is now suggesting is that, well, this argument that, let me give proper attribution, this argument to Rabbi Abahu, that it's better to compare Miluim to Yom Kippur because they're both privately funded. And what the Gemara is trying to argue right now is, well, maybe it's not privately funded. And now the Gemara, here's where the Gemara says, no, it is privately funded. I can lo pli gela b'kichos da'ama v'asiyas da'ama. Kichos da'ama kach lecha samim. Asiyas da'ama aseh lecha shtei chatzor sos kesef. When the Torah is speaking in generalities, like the Ketores, like the Chatzotzros, so then we'll debate. The privately funded, the publicly funded. Avahanach perushi kamefarash demeshochahu. But over here, it's clear. It's clear that it is privately funded. Why? So the Gemara says, look at the Pesukim. Because first the Torah addresses the Jewish people. You, the Jewish people, you know what you're going to bring? You'll bring Sir Lachatas. So that's what? Public money. And then the Torah says, and you, Aaron, you know what you bring? So you're going to bring Egel for Achatas, Parlaola. Okay. So when you look at the Pesukim in the context, it's clear that the Bnei Yisrael are obligated, they're on the hook for this type of carbon, and you, Aaron, you're on the hook for this type of carbon. So just the context speaks to the idea that some of it's publicly funded, some of it's privately funded. So, I'm sorry. And on Yom Kippur, same basic story. So first the Torah talks to Aaron. And the Torah tells Aaron, here, you know what you're going to bring on Yom Kippur? You're going to bring par for a chatas and an aisle for an ola. And the Jewish people, what are you on the hook for? So, yikach shnei sirizim lechatas, v'ikrivis par chatas, I'm sorry, shnei sirizim lechatas, and you're going to bring two goats, and one of them will be Gal Hashem, and the other one will be Azazel, but we'll get to that later in the Masechta. So, but what do you see? That clearly, in the context of the psukim of Achrimos, Aaron is on the hook for some karbanos, and the Jewish people on the hook for other karbanos. So, although we can argue, generally speaking, throughout the Torah, who's the funding of some of these items? The chatzotzros, the ketores. So is that public money or is that private money? So we could argue. And it is argued. Rav Yonasan and Rav Yoshi are arguing. But in terms of the milum, in the terms of the avod of Yom Kippur, there's no argument. You just look at the psukim themselves, and the psukim speak to the idea that some of it's privately funded, some of it's publicly funded. Good. V'hikar is parachatas asher lo. As long as we're here, the Gemara just quotes the pasuk in back to Achrimos, and he brings the chatas which is his. So lama lishma mina haylo mishalahu. So the chatas is his, meaning it belongs to Aaron. Okay. Adkan. All right. So just a quick recap. He was shivas yimei afrasha, 7 days of sequestering. We see it by the meluim, and where else do we see it by? So the Gemara says Yom Kippur, and it's got to be Yom Kippur. Because there's no other day that better mimics, that better reflects the Meluim than that of Yom Kippur. So Pesach, 7 day Yantav. Sukkah, 7 day Yantav. Shmini Atzeret is an attachment to Pesach. I'm with the program today. Shmini Atzeret is an attachment to Sukkot. The Gemara suggests, well, maybe Shavuos. The Gemara says, so carbons don't match up. And what about Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says, well, who's funding the carbonos? Aaron's funding the karbanos by the meluim, by Yom Kippur. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, and for that matter, when it comes to Shavuos, that's public funding. That's a carbon sibor. So it's better to compare it to Yom Kippur because in the meluim and Yom Kippur we have private funding. The Kohen has to pay for his karbanos on these days. That's why it's a better match. Ad kan. So that is all one approach. Very, you know, obviously it took a while to get to the point, but that's all one approach in terms of how we know that just like the Shivas Yimei Afrasha by the Meluim, so when the Torah says, and this will be for other days as well, the other days means Yom Kippur. So right now it's all based on the fact that in Yom Kippur you have private funding of Karbanos, just like by the Meluim. The Gemara now is going to attack all this with a different approach. Rav Ashi Amar Dan in Parlachatas Va'ayla Ola Mi Parlachatas Va'ayla Ola La'afuki Rosh Hashanah Ve'atzeres Tavai Olas Ninu. Another approach, a simple approach. Let's take a look at the purpose of these karbanos. Meaning, you're right. On both of these days, there's a par and there's an ayil. You're right. But parva ayil for Rosh Hashanah is much different than parva ayil of Yom Kippur. Parva ayil and Rosh Hashanah, ola. They're both olas. Parva ayil and Yom Kippur, one serves as an ola, the other one serves as a chatas. Parva ayil and meluim, one serves as an ola, the other serves as a chatas. So if you look at the purpose of the karbanos, it is a much better match to match up the meluim with Yom Kippur rather than the meluim in Rosh Hashanah. It's another approach. Ravina Amar Danin Avodah B'Kohen Gadol, Me Avodah B'Kohen Gadol. Ravina says, we can also attack this from another approach. And that is the meluim. Who's doing the meluim? Aaron. Aaron's the one who's going to be doing the Avodah the first day of the Mishkan. Who's doing the Avodah of Yom Kippur? Kohen Gadol. Masha'ein came when it comes to Rosh Hashanah or any other Yontiv, any Kohen can do it. La'afuki kula, Kushi Hasan, Delav Avoda, B'Kohen Gadol Ninu. The Avoda is not done by the Kohen Gadol. The Igadami Amaravina done Avoda Tchila, Me Avoda Tchila, Afuki Han Delav Tchila Ninu. Now the Gemara has an Igadami, another version, another way to say Ravina, and that is what's called Avoda Tchila. Avoda Tchila, what does that mean? So my Tchila, okay, the Gemara is asking exactly that question. Elam Tchila B'Kohen Gadol, Hainu Kamaisa. Now, Tchila, what does Tchila mean? Meaning, number one Kohen Gadol, okay, that's fine, but it's just not Nika Damri. Meaning that was exactly the first point of Ravina. So what does Tchila mean? Ela Avoda Tchila B'Makom, Me Avoda Tchila B'Makom, opening day. The Meluim ends with, the 7 days of the Meluim ends with opening day of the Mishkan. And what's opening day for Yom Kippur? Opening day of Kodesh Kadashim. Rashi explains. So, Tchila B'makom, I'm reading Rashi. Yom HaKippurim Yesh Bo Avod Lefnai V'Lefnim. Shib Yom HaKippurim HaRishon Haitha Tchila B'makom. It's opening day in Kodesh HaKadashim. Shekor Lachem Lo Nichnas Adam Shal Avoda. Because prior to that, no one did the avoda. V'yom shmini l'miluim ha'isa avoda tchila b'mizbech hachitzon. And when it comes to the miluim, so what happens after those 7 inaugural days, after the 7 days of Hafrasha, opening day of the Mishkan? It's the first time that someone's doing the avoda in the mizbech hachitzon, in the outer mizbech. Now Rashi is bothered. Rashi says, by the way, do you know what happened during those Shivas Yimei miluim? Moshe did the avoda during those 7 days of the miluim. So it's a little bit strange that we're referring to the first day of Nisan, the opening day of the Mishkan, is the first time the Avoda was done. And what was Moshe doing for those last 7 days? So Rashi's bothered by that. Rashi asks the question, Rashi's going to give an answer. The im bishvil sheshimesh Moshe kol shivas yimei meluim, ein kriya avoda itzol avodas kohanim. So what Moshe did, don't call that Avoda. And why not? Interesting Rashi. Rashi writes, Shehu belavush big de kahuna b'shal Moshe b'chaluk lavan shalahuchsha ella lisha'a. Moshe wasn't wearing the big de kahuna. And if you're not wearing the big de kahuna, so we can't call that avoda. So it speaks, Rashi speaks very strongly to the idea that a kohen that's not dressed in his big de kahuna, so anything he does is just simply not an avoda. Right? Number of times we heard over the years the shirim about when the Kohen wears his big day kahuna, is it a function of the Kohen or is it a function of the Avoda? Yuvashi over here clearly expresses the opinion that it's a function of the Avoda. That if you're not wearing your begadim, you could be doing whatever you're doing, it's not called Avoda. So Moshe's not a Kohen, Moshe's not wearing the big day kahuna. Nothing's wrong with that, right? At the time, that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed. But Rashi says, but don't call that Avoda. That's not Avoda. That's whatever it is. Give it a name. But it's not Avoda. So that's why when Aaron's now doing the Avoda for the first time, it's the first time. Even though 7 days prior, we were doing Avoda. No, Aaron's doing the Avoda for the first time. He's wearing the big day kahuna. All right, you normally would say clothes make the man. Well, now we're going to say clothes makes the Avoda. Okay, that's a new catchphrase for today. Okay, good. That right in the Gemara we finished. We finished. I mean, we didn't finish. We're just a little more to go. Okay, but where are we right now? again, explaining why the Shivas Yemei Afrasha that we know occurred by the Meluim, so where else are we going to find it? The answer is Yom Kippur. Why Yom Kippur? So I think if we can organize, let's say we went through three different approaches for today. Okay, so number one, the argument of funding. Who's funding the Karbanos? Kohen, not the Tzibur. That's true by Meluim, that's true by Yom Kippur. Number two, Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is doing the Meluim. Kohen Gadol, right, the Meluim finished with the Kohen Gadol. So too by the Yom Kippur, that's only done by the Kohen Gadol. And number three, opening day. Opening day in the Mishkan, when the Meluim ended in opening day of the Mishkan, meaning the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and Yom Kippur was opening day of the Kodesh HaKadosh. Okay. All this is to explain how we know that the Hafrasha applies to Yom Kippur as opposed to any other day. Ki Asar Avdimi, continuing in the Gemara. We're about two-thirds down on the Amud. Ki Asar Avdimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Masnichada. Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Masnichada. So Rav Yochanan, he learns one. Rav Yeshua ben Levi, he learns two. Okay, we're a little bit lost right now. So the Gemara is going to explain. Rav Yochanan Masnichada Lasos Lechaper Ela Masa Yom HaKippurim. So Rav Yochanan says, let's go back to what we learned yesterday. And yet the pasuk by the Meluim says, right, Kasher Asa Bayom Hazer Siva Hashem Lasos Lechaper Aleichem. Now what did we say yesterday? That the Gemara is referencing two other times that there is a Hafrasha. One is by Parah Aduma, and the second is by Yom Kippur. And now what the Gemara is arguing, at least according to Rav Yochanan, is no. Rav Yochanan says only one. Rav Yochanan Masichad, Alaso Sechaper, Elo Masi Yom HaKippurim. It's both a reference to Yom Kippur. Even though if you go back to yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara says, can't both be talking about Yom Kippur. But according to Rav Yochanan now, no, he disagrees. They're both talking about Yom Kippur. Rav Yeshua Malevi Masi Tarte, Alaso Elo Masi Para, and Lechaper Elo Masi Yom HaKippurim. Reish Lakish was happy with yesterday's daf. In other words, now that we know Gimel Amud Beis, we'll say that yesterday's daf was Reish Lakish. Now, Rav Yochanan Masnichada v'hanan tanan shivas yamim koren yom kippurim v'shivas yamim koren sreifas hapara. So the Gemara says, first of all, can I ask a simple question against Rav Yochanan? We know the shivas yamei afrasha for both the Parah Aduma and for Yom Kippur. Meaning, what's Rav Yochanan doing? He's saying that the pasuk by Meluim is only talking about one time, but just. We know it's two. Meaning the Mishnah and Parah, which we learned yesterday, right? The first Mishnah, the third Parak of Parah. The Shivas Yemei Afrasha. No one argues with that. That's not a point of contention. And by Yom Kippur, the Shivas Yemei Afrasha. There's no argument. So what are you doing? You tell me that the Pasuk is only talking about Yom Kippur. It's not talking about the Parah. Well, how could you say that? We know there's Shivas Yemei Afrasha. So where does that come from? So the Gemara's answer, that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's answer is, Malabamahu. I added a word. Okay, Malabama. So the Gemara says, okay, Chumra by Parah Aduma, meaning we can go back to what we said yesterday, that because we're going to end up being Metame the Kohen, who's going to do the Sreifa Sapara, right? Remember yesterday we explained why. Tzedukim had a different understanding of the Pasuk. We have our understanding of the Pasuk, which is based on Mesorah. So therefore to make sure that everyone understands our understanding of the Pasuk is correct, so we're Mitami the Kohen who's about to do the Sreifa. And because we're going to be Mitami the Kohen, so we go the other way, and just to make sure that people don't walk away with an attitude of, we can be lax, it's fine. So we institute a number of Chumras regarding the Parah Aduma, and now we'll say this is one of them. The Hafrasha of the Kohen prior to the Sreifa, that's a Mala. It's just simply another Chumra that was added. But it's not based on the pasuk regarding Meluim. The Ha Amar of Minyan Mebar Tchelki Amar of Mechasi Bar Yidiyam Rav Yochanan Kasher Asa B'yam Azet Tziva Shal Masos Lechaper Alechem Lasos Ela Masa Parah Lechaper Ela Masa Yom HaKippurim. So now the Gemara says, wonderful. Okay, I get it, but here's the part I don't get. Rav Yochanan, now you're arguing that there is only one thing that the Meluim is referring to, and that's Yom Kippur. You go back to yesterday's daf. Whose drasha was that yesterday? That was Rav Yochanan's drasha. I told you in the beginning of this morning's shir. Remember Rav Yochanan. So you go back to Beis Hamad Aleph. Who was saying that there are two references in the pasuk? Rav Yochanan. Now on Gimel Amud Beis, who's saying that there's only one reference from the pasuk? That's Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, okay, you gave a wonderful explanation, but when all said and done, they're both Rav Yochanan. Hahu derabe. So the Gemara's explanation is, no, Rav Yochanan was expressing the opinion of his Rebbe. Dechias Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmal, Lassus Elamasa, Paru Lachaper Elamasa Yamakiporim. So he was quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Yishmal. Rabbi Yishmal said that one's a reference to Paru and the other one is a reference to Yom Kippur, but Rav Yochanan disagrees. Okay. Hedy will ask two questions over here. One I know is how can you disagree with your Rebbe? Right, that's generally speaking one question which I never really have a good answer for, but that's one question we can ask. And another question we could ask, which is also another very basic question, is and Tosus is bothered by this question. Tosus asked the question straight out. Rabbi Shmuel is a Tana, Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora. We draw a line in the sand, and the line is, you're an Amora, you can't argue with a Tana. You can agree with a Tana, you can side with a Tana, but you can't argue with a Tana. So, aside from Rabbi Yochanan disagreeing with Rabbi Shmuel, let's say they're Rabbi Talmud. Okay, let's say that, let's not say that. But certainly what we, Ritosus is bothered. Rabbi Shmuel is a Tana and Rabbi Yochanan's an Amora.
Maybe
Rabbi
Yochanan is representing that their opinion about his Tana.
Okay, so the Im Tomar, you want to see the Tosfos inside, it's the second Tosfos on the Amud. It's into the Tosfos, like 7-8 lines into the Tosfos. It's the first words in the line. The Im Tomar, Rav Yochanan, Hecha Palag, Rabbi Shmuel, Shu Tana. Tosfos is bothered by this simple question. Okay, so the first answer of Tosfos is, okay, basically what you suggested, Rav Yochanan has support of Tanayim. There's a Braisa that goes like this, that the Pasuk of Milum is only referencing one other time where there's a Afrash, and that's Yom Kippur, and not Para, that's one answer. Drop down Inami, skipping a little bit in Tosfos, Tosfos offers another answer, Yesh Lomar, Midikam Rav Yochanan, Mishmei Rav Yishmael, Hachi Mechlal, Derabbanan Pliga Aleham. Or what you could say is as follows. The fact that he's quoting Rabbi Yishmael, why is he quoting Rabbi Yishmael? Oh, one could suggest that Rabbi Yishmael on this issue is a singular opinion. And others argue with him. The Yodama Karabban, and he's just simply agreeing with the Chachamim. Either way, Tosfos basically tries to escape from this by saying that it's not Rav Yochanan against the Tana, it's either there's a Braisa that falls like Rav Yochanan, or other way around, or we know the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Shmuel. Either way. Okay, let's finish up for today. It's just sometimes the Gemara says that he didn't hear of this Braisa. Right? In other words, the Mishnayos, the Gemara assumes they all knew their Mishnayos. Every one of them knew every Mishnah. But in terms of Braisos, there are Gemaras out there that say that he didn't know of this Braisa. Lo Shmi Alei. He never heard of it. Amale Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan, Mehecha Kayaftala Mimulum. So, let's leave this for tomorrow. In other words, this really will segue into tomorrow's daf. Okay, so because the exchange between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Okay, quick recap, and we end. Okay, so once again, Shiva Simei Afrasha, first Mishnah, tells us that the Kohen needs to sequester himself for 7 days. And the issue we've been discussing, and it's one issue, it's one topic, and that is, where does it come from? Menahan Imili. The Gemara expresses a question on Dab Bezim and Aleph. And now for the first two Dapim of Yuma, the question is explored. It's basically based on the Meluim, that there were 7 inaugural days prior to the opening day of the Mishkan. The opening day of the Mishkan was the first day of Nisan. We know that the Kohen went into seclusion. He was sequestered for those 7 days. And then the Torah says that just like you're going to do it on this day, so kasher asa b'yam hazeh, tziva shem lasos l'chapar aleichem. And the big question is, what is the Torah referencing? Meaning this will be done another time. What is that other time? So as we learned in yesterday's daf, Paraduma and Yom Kippur, the Gemara spent a long time trying to explore maybe other days of the year also should require the Shiva Simei Afrasha. The Gemara ends up rejecting for a number of reasons which we went through in today's daf. And then the Gemara today articulated the opinion of Yochanan where Shiva Simei Amalum is only referring to Yom Kippur. It's not referencing anything else. What about Paraduma? We know there are 7 days where the Kohen has to sequester himself. So Rav Yochanan says Mala Ba'ama. That's a Chumrah. Specific to Paraduma, but not nothing to do with the Meluim. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Maybe another reason why there's Shevet Yemei Afrasha.